Dad and I had another fight. I'm afraid if we stay under the same roof together, we'll do irreparable harm to the relationship we have as it is.
You might remember why you moved him in the first place. You wanted to get closer to Dad.
I still do. There isn't anything I'd like more, but he makes it impossible. I can't read my book, I can't have my coffee, I can't have any peace in my own home.
So what you're saying is you want to be closer to Dad, but you don't actually want him around.
Do you have relatives of your own where you really like the relative or you love the relative, but you would hate to live with that relative? Whether they have bad habits or whether you get under each other's skin when that happens, you know, how do you deal with those types of situations? That's one of the many questions you can call me about. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and my show is The Rational Basis of Happiness. And you can pick up the phone right now and give me a call at toll-free 1-877-DR-KENNER. Toll-free 1-877-DR-KENNER. And you can also go to my website, drkenner.com, and that drop was from Fraser. And right now we're turning to the phones and welcome Anna. Anna, you have a daughter who was labeled ADHD?
Yes.
Yeah, tell me what's going on with her.
Well, the teacher at her voluntary kindergarten class, pre-K, after about a month, she approached me and said that she thought Sarah could possibly have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder because she couldn't sit still. And she immediately brought up medication, and I just was shocked because, you know, my daughter's, yes, she's active, but I just thought that was kind of a quick diagnosis. She's going to be starting kindergarten this year. I'm concerned because I think the moment I put her in school, within a week, I know the teacher's going to call me and probably say, you know, has your daughter been tested, or, you know, is she hyperactive? And I'm a nurse, and I don't want to have my daughter on any medication at all.
Okay, go ahead.
And I've been searching the web, and I know there's just so many alternatives to medication, and possibly even a misdiagnosis. And I see how many times these children are misdiagnosed because they're either highly intelligent or they're just not, they don't fit the typical mold.
Oh, I love what you just said. I love that. That is the page that I am typically on. I worked with lots of kids. I worked with highly abused kids for several years, and I was in court all the time, just being the voice of the child. And I'll tell you, from all the kids that I saw who were highly traumatized, I think I saw one that had what I might consider attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And it wasn't that they weren't anxious. It wasn't that they weren't bouncing off the walls at times. It was that ADHD used to be called, do you remember, do you know what it was called? Minimal brain damage.
Yes.
And because nobody wants their child to have minimal brain damage.
No.
And so it was a very unpopular diagnosis. And, you know, it might be a forceps delivery where there was trauma to the brain. It might be some other problem. But there's trauma to the brain, and the child cannot focus. But the children that I have seen are the exact opposite. These kids are darling. They are energized like a Mark Twain. Or like my own son. My son, I think of ADHD, or a colleague of mine called it the disease du jour. And there were two offices where I used to work, and I used to work in a group practice. And if you walked into one office with your child, the child would typically, you know, if the teacher said the child has ADHD, the child would walk into the office and walk out with a diagnosis of, guess what, ADHD. Mm-hmm. Of course, they would give the teacher the reports. They would try to get collaborative evidence. But if you get any healthy child, or a bright child who's bored in a dull class, or a teacher who wants the kids to just behave, she's overloaded, too many kids, or she's burnt out, she doesn't love her job, then, you know, medication looks very good. It's not a wrong kid. So I do think that you can have a child can have brain damage. I'm not saying that that's not the case, but I am saying before I would ever get near that diagnosis with my child, I would first want to make sure what the facts were that led the teacher to suspect this. I would want her raw data. The other thing I would want to do is look at all alternative explanations. You might have a very bright kid. You're an educated mom. I mean, you're a nurse. And she might be just, you know, kids have different temperaments.
Well, so you know,
yeah, go ahead.
I just want to say there's a lot of family dynamics that are going on. I just graduated with my associate's degree in nursing. And I'm separated from my husband. And so there's a lot of things that have been going on in her life that are disruptive. And I know that all this can play a part if
Absolutely.
She could possibly be depressed or, you know, and I'm trying to take all that into consideration, but I was thinking of taking her to a psychologist and having her evaluated. Whatever I had to do to, you know, to get away from the ADHD and possibly come up with something else.
Yeah, what I would,
could be wrong.
Let me tell you what I would do. I went to school while my kids were young, and I spent an enormous amount of time, but I still had mommy
yeah.
guilt that I wasn't around enough. Yeah. And what works fabulously, I mean, I spent hours upon hours reading child-rearing books, and I repeat this all the time on my show because I think these the authors I'm about to mention are the gold standard in parenting, and it's you can go to my website, drkenner.com, drkenner.com, and I won't take the time to go over the names in detail, but it's How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen So Kids Will Talk.
Oh, yes.
A total breath of fresh air. You can teach the course. They have courses you can teach. It's available. They have How to Talk So Kids Will Learn.
Mm-hmm.
How to Talk Even So Teens Will Talk.
Oh, I have a 12-year-old.
Okay. So this is what happened. When the kids went into one office, they would come out with ADHD. When they came into my office, I looked at exactly what you're saying. That's where I was going next. So I love that you beat me to the punch. I looked at the family dynamics. What's going on, possibly going on in your child's mind? Is she worried about the divorce? Is she missing you? Does she feel like there's an older sibling? I mean, that's a huge age gap. 12 years old, and what's, are they biological?
Yes, they are.
And go ahead.
I was just going to say she'll be 5 and my son will be 13 in November. So there
what
is
are the,
a difference.
In a nutshell, because we're short on time, what other dynamics are there that could be causing little Sarah to just feel a little discombobulated?
Well, the biggest one is missing her father, and we are separated. He comes and stays. We're working on our marriage, so he's here a few days a week, and then he leaves. And I think that really has a big impact on her. Why does she's like, why does my daddy leave, and why does he come back and then go? And sometimes I think, you know, maybe I'm just making all this worse, and I'm trying to stay together for the sake of my kids.
Oh,
as well
don't
as,
do that.
You know?
I don't have enough data to answer that specifically, but if you're trying to stay together for your kids, I will tell you that older kids have said that I feel so guilty because my parents were unhappily married. They stayed together for a decade for me. I wish they hadn't done that because now I feel guilty. I'm in college and they're divorcing, and you know, you don't realize what consequences there are.
Yes,
listen, if you love your husband and if it's worth fighting for, fighting for the marriage, and you think there's a good chance of having him as your romantic partner, go for it. Get the counseling. Read the book Passionate Marriage, which is also on my website. But if the two of you are just perpetrating a fraud, you're staying together, but you're not in love.
Right.
Or you like
right.
each other, but you're not, you know, don't do that to yourselves or the kids because you're teaching them how to lie, and you will be bitter and cynical. When your kids start dating and have a happy relationship, you'll say, well, I suffered for you. Listen, I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. Thank you so very much for the call,
Thank
Anna.
Thank you.
Call back anytime. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. You're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness, and coming up, we'll have your phone calls. If you pick up the phone right now, my number's toll-free, 1-877-DRKENNER.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner.
The ideal goal in evaluating a potential romantic partner is to discover a harmony between your emotional response and your rational appraisal. If there is any conflict between the two, it will feel like a red flag. Treat all red flags as a signal to clarify and resolve any confusion and doubts you may have before making decisions about something as important as marriage. If you consider your partner to be a fine person and yet feel nothing emotionally, this will not work romantically. Nor will it work if you feel a strong emotional response yet conclude consciously that the person is of low character or a poor match for you. You want a strong emotional bond that agrees fully with your rational judgment of the person.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.